For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good evening. You may want to have your chant book out. I'm going to this evening do an introduction or preview of the session we're doing this week and talk about or introduce the Song of Vijaya Mara Samadhi, which we're going to talk about this week during session. So during session, I want to talk about this as a zazen text, in a way as a koan text. There are many lines of this text that work as zazen samadhi openings. But I want to kind of introduce it tonight. Some of you may have looked at the Dongshan book that I wrote that has a chapter on this. Just to introduce this. This text, this poem, is attributed to Dongshan Liangjie, Tozan Ryokai in Japanese, who was the founder of the Chinese lineage, Shaodong lineage, that was brought to Japan by Dogen, who was the Japanese founder of this lineage. Dongshan lived 807 to 869, so this goes back to the 9th century. And in some ways is the seminal text of our lineage. And there are many, many lines in this that are... very juicy, but the two lines that I want to focus on, and there'll be time if you have lines you want to ask about. I know Jan has asked about this text often, but the two lines I want to focus on, and then I'll focus on probably every day of the session. By the way, the session Wednesday through Sunday, the morning talks are open to everybody, so whether or not you're signed up for the session, you're welcome to come to any of those talks. The two lines I will talk about every day and that I want to focus on. First, the Dharma of suchness is intimately transmitted by Buddhas and ancestors. Now you have it, preserve it well. First two lines. And then, like facing a precious mirror, form and reflection behold each other. You are not it, but in truth it is you. So... these come from a story about Dongshan. Dongshan was leaving his teacher, Yunyan, and so we say Dongshan is the founder of this lineage, but actually, in some ways, the whole lineage from the sixth ancestor, Huineng, to Dongshan are the founders of this lineage. But at any rate, the story goes that Dongshan was leaving his teacher, Yunyan, and he said, later on, if I'm asked to express your teaching, your reality, your dharma, what should I say? How should I respond? And Yunyan paused. And then he said, just this is it. And Dongshan didn't have anything to say. And then Yunyan said, now you're in charge of this great matter. You must be most thoroughgoing. So that's paraphrased or expressed in the first two lines here. The Dharma of suchness, the reality, the teaching of suchness, of just this, of suchness is a more positive way of talking about emptiness, just this, and it's an actual practice. So, as you sit facing the wall, suchness, just this. Actually, when you become familiar with just this suchness, it's everywhere. walking down the street, drinking a cup of tea or water, saying hello to a friend. Just this. But anyway, this Dharma of suchness is intimately transmitted by Buddhism ancestors. And Yunyan said to Dongshan, now you have it, preserve it well, in effect. And this text was actually a transmission text in the Shaodong lineage throughout China. But now that we chant it, in some ways, all of us have some piece of this, the Dharma of suchness. It's intimately transmitted. It's not, and this word intimately is important, how we receive this. Well, Zazen is an intimate transmission in itself. So now you have it, preserve it well. This is not something that you need to acquire from outside. This is not something you need to figure out, as it makes clear later on. This is not something you can attain through much study and through years of meditation. Now you have it. Preserve it well. How do we take care of it? So the practice is, how do we take care of it? How do we preserve it? So in some ways, this Dharma of suchness is the topic for the whole rest of this long poem. So there's much more to say about these first two lines. And also, I would suggest that as you're sitting facing the wall, facing yourself, facing reality, facing the Dharma of suchness, to consider the Dharma of suchness is intimately transmitted by Buddhas and ancestors. What does it mean? Now you have it, preserve it well. How do you feel that? But the story continues. Dongshan departed from Yunyan, and as he left, he was crossing over a stream, and he saw his reflection in the stream. And it's said that he awakened to the meaning of this exchange with Yunyan, and he wrote a verse, just don't seek from others or you'll be far estranged from self. I now go on alone, everywhere I meet it. It now is me, I now am not it. One must understand in this way to merge with suchness. So in this later verse from Dongshan, he said, you are not it, but in truth it is you. In the original verse, he said, I now am not it, but it now is me. So this is very deep. You are not it, but actually it is you. When we face this precious mirror, when we face the wall, form and reflection behold each other. You are not it, but in truth it is you. So just that line. You could spend, well, we will spend 5 days this week, some of us, but just that line, you are not it, but in truth it is you, is worthy of much study. And when I say study it, like Dogen says, please study this, he doesn't mean think about it and figure it out. He means sit with it, feel it yogically. So, those are the two lines, those are the two verses that are key to this. But I'll also say, again, by way of introduction to this whole text, that there are lots of things going on in this long text. Again, the topic is this Dharma, this reality of suchness, and how to take care of it. But it's also, there is a lot in this text about teacher and student. There's a lot in this text about language. There's a lot in this text about how to take care of suchness. And there's also another one of the lines that is key is inclined and upright interact. So inclined and upright is one way of talking about, we sometimes chant, we will be chanting also during Sesshin, the harmony of difference and sameness. Inclined refers to difference or the particulars or the phenomenal world. Upright refers to sameness or oneness or the universal or the ultimate. And part of what this text is said to introduce is the fivefold way. So there's a lot of fives in here. The fivefold way in which the ultimate or the universal or the upright reality, the background reality that we sense through Zazen, interacts and integrates with the particular conventional phenomenal world. And that's part of what's going on in this long verse as well. And so there's a dialectical teaching of the 5 degrees, or sometimes it's called the 5 ranks, which is kind of introduced in this text, which is the kind of background philosophy of Soto Zen. But you know, this is a poem full of images. It's not a philosophical didactic text, and it actually points away from that. It says the meaning does not reside in the words, but a pivotal moment brings it forth. That's another very juicy line. That pivotal moment could be translated in various ways. So in the course of sitting for a day or 5 days or whatever, or even just a period, pivotal moment is could be translated as, it meant that's the character in there is key is can be translated in various ways. It's the opportunity or the energy or even the inquiring student. So the energy of your inquiry brings it forth. There is some response. There's some response that there's some meaning that comes forth from such a pivotal moment of inquiry, of energy. So there are many other lines in here that are worthy of settling into, worthy of sitting with. Pivotal moment brings it forth. Drumming and singing begin together, wondrously embraced within the real. Drumming and singing begin together. That could also be so the Chinese characters that are translated here, a lot of them could be translated in various ways. Drumming and singing could also be translated as call and response, or hitting and yelling. So there's this immediacy, drumming and singing. Reality constantly flows. So whatever you think about this, whatever feelings or ideas you might have, reality constantly flows. This background, ultimate reality is constantly flowing. So there's so much to say or to inquire about this, and part of what I'm going to be encouraging during the 5-day Sesshin, and again, you're welcome to come to the talks, is just to use these in zazen. So you are not it, but in truth it is you. Look at the wall and say, you're not the wall, but the wall actually is you. Can you really see it that way? Or can it see you that way? So there's a tremendous amount to play with in this song. It's called a song. We don't know if there was a melody or a tune at some point. That's been lost. The words are not lost, though. So I could keep going, but and we will keep going this week, but if some of you have comments or responses or other lines that you want to respond to or ask about, please feel free. I'll pause for that. If nobody has anything to say, I can keep babbling, but comments, questions, responses. Jan, you've asked about this sometimes. Which lines do you want to know about?
Well, you know, this is my favorite thing in the book. There's three lines that are repetitious about teachings and approaches. And so when I was learning this, I was sort of surprised that they didn't use any metaphors or didn't use some other words, but just repeated teachings and approaches. And
well, that may be the problem of the translator, but that's also what it says.
But that's okay, yeah. And then when it says the line that can't be understood as far as I'm concerned here. Each has its standard. I don't know what that means. But then the next line, whether teaching is an approach to master or not, reality constantly flows. And so it means to me that no matter how you are living your life, reality is going to be there. And if you're teachable, reality will I think that it means that if you're teachable, you can influence reality. If you
and vice versa.
If you have the correct approach, or if your teachings and approaches are mastered.
Well,
if they're not, it doesn't make any difference because reality will flow along anyway.
Well, there's a particular reference here because there's sudden and gradual. We're teaching approaches or methods even. Method's not the right word, but there was this idea of sudden and gradual approaches to the teaching. And there was a northern and a southern school of Chan in China. So that's the reference here. So there were these two, we could say, schools or styles of Chan teaching, and actually that they were talked about as such, as different approaches. So this is a reference to something in Chinese and Chan history. Before Dongshan, just a little bit before Dongshan, and yet, actually, if we look at them now, each, practically speaking, both are both, or you know, the difference.
There's another line that I really like a lot. Well, I like most of it, but the one that impressed me when I was listening to the radio yesterday morning. I was listening to On Being, and this line...
They were talking about this poem?
No. We're talking about this poem. But there are a lot that they talk about that reminded me.
Uh-huh.
I like the line, wondrously embraced within the real, drumming and singing begin together.
Yes.
And so what they were talking about in On Being this yesterday morning was this guy who was a poet that goes to Genesis and he says, in the beginning, the earth was up. God came on the scene and he said, let there be music. And I thought of this line, wondrously embraced in the real drumming and singing begin together because,
mm-hmm.
because instead of when he said, let there be music, I asked out loud.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, let there be life. But I say this poem to myself.
Yeah, so drumming and singing begin together as expressions of the real. And as I said before, drumming and singing is, you know, this immediacy of call and response.
Yeah.
It's this, there's no separation. So, yeah. And there's other references to that immediacy when the wooden man starts to sing, the stone woman gets up to dance.
Yeah. And there's other things. It repeats because one of the lines, natural and wondrous, it is not a matter of delusion or enlightenment. And then later on it says, it's you can't get it through consciousness or that kind of a line.
It is not reached by feelings or consciousness. How could it involve deliberation?
And then there's another one in the beginning.
It's,
I could pick them out, but there's about four of them in here. And then there's lines that when I was first reading it, I thought, well, these are scolding lines, but I don't feel that way anymore.
Like, good. It's talking about the practice as beyond our usual deliberative, cognitive processes. Yeah. So, other comments? Oh yes, hi, Chris. Yes. Good evening.
Thank you, first of all, for talking. For some reason, and I'm not entirely sure why, but for some reason. Every time we have spoken about this, wondrously embraced within the real, drumming and singing begin together, for whatever reason, my mind keeps going to the hammer that strikes soon up, where its echo extends out suddenly and all, like, work back and forth. I don't entirely know why, but for some reason my mind links it to
good.
Drumming and singing begin together, and the sound of the hammer striking soon that time. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly.
It's The Hammer Strikes the Wind Bell. Yeah, and there's a poem by Dogen's teacher. Yeah.
And I don't even know what to say about it, but for some reason those two are connected in my mind, and I just can't seem to... it's just there, and that's okay.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, so playing with this material is about making those connections. Dylan?
The question that's rather for me right now is if whether teachings are approached to their master or not, reality constantly flows, and Buddha is always going beyond Buddha, then why is it important to preserve it well?
The preserve it well has to do with how does this key stay alive in the world?
How does Buddha stay alive in the world?
How does this teaching of suchness?
But if reality is constantly flowing, what's the difference then between the teaching of suchness and reality constantly flowing?
Yes.
Well, I'm reminded, sorry to jump in.
Go ahead.
I'm reminded again of the fan, talking about, you know, that it's always there. That we can't actually, there's nothing we can do about it in terms of it being there or not, whether we like it or not, whether we're aware of it or not. It's happening. You know, we are there. It's not, well,
But anyway, but like whether or not we actualize it, you know, whether or not the fan gets moved, I think that's what's going to be preserving the movement of the fan. In Opening the Hand of Thought, there's this really beautiful story about persimmon trees, and about how actually all persimmon, so they're sweet, I'll make sure, but they're in oriental persimmons, there are sweet persimmon trees, and there are astringent ones that you can't eat, and until an astringent tree ripens into a sweet branch, it's inedible. I was talking about actually original. So like when you plant the seeds of a sweet persimmon tree, all of them become astringent. And he was thinking, Uchiyama Roshi was thinking, why? So where was the first sweet? How do you get a sweet persimmon tree? And it turns out you have to graft a branch from a sweet persimmon tree onto an astringent one in order for that to become sweet. And at some point in time, over 100, like several hundred years, an astringent persimmon tree turned into a sweet one. And in a sense, they take that and put it onto another one. And I think that that is related in the sense of, you know, he was saying that in India, it just so happened that an astringent branch became a sweet one. And then the core of, you know, the practice is how do we keep this sweetness going? You know? So I guess that. I just really liked that analogy. So what's that?
Well, that's a metaphor for something that's at the core, in the very first line here. The story about Yunyan and Dongshan is how do you preserve the lineage of the teaching and the practice. So that's what's at stake here. That's one level of it. Yes, reality is constantly flowing, and the Dharma, in some ways, that's ever available. Buddhas can arise when they realize this, but this is talking about a particular lineage that we're connected to, and there are many lineages. But how does that get continued? You know, how does that get grafted on? How does that? One of the issues throughout this, there are various issues that are going on in this poem. But one of them is about teachers and students, and how does that particular approach to teaching get continued? There's the line about one on the verge of realizing the Buddha way, contemplating a tree for 10 kalpas. So that's a particular aspect of our lineage, for example. So it's not just that. Yes, now you have it. Preserve it well. When we chant this, yes, this is something that's always available. And yet, how does it actually get carried on? If Suzuki Roshi hadn't come to San Francisco, how would we have realized this? Well, we might have, you know, realized some other lineage and found a way to practice something. But anyway, here we are. So that's what's going on. That's one of the things going on here. Yes, Dennis, hi.
Actually, a lot of stuff.
Yes, there is.
First of all, near the beginning, movement or trap, listen, you fall into doubt and vacillation, turning away and touching are both wrong, for it's like a massive fire. As much sense as I can make of that, it sounds like thinking about it and not thinking about it are both wrong.
Yes. That's one of the great lines for Zazen. Turning away and touching are both wrong. You can't get a whole. So turning away and touching are kind of gentle translations. Turning away literally is turning your back on it. Touching is grasping it. So the character. So we Yeah, can't live with it, can't live without it. You know, it's like a massive fire. So, and move and you are trapped, you know. There are lines in here that are literally, you know, feel like lines about zazen. Where's the one about the cowering rat? Outside still and inside trembling. I don't know how many of you felt that in zazen. And yet this turning away and touching are both wrong is really a way of looking at something that's very deep in zazen, I think. So thank you. Yeah, were you going to say something else about it?
Yeah, like a battle scarred tiger, like horse with chains gone gray. Because some are common, jeweled tables and ornate robes. Because some are white, cats and white oxen. Those lines really appeal to me. I can't say I really understand them, but it sounds like something like that people approach this group. Some people really respond to jewel tables and ornate robes.
Right.
really like the cancer or the oxen.
Yes. Yeah, so there's, you know, so skillful means different strokes. How to convey, so that goes back to how to convey this, you know. How to preserve it well, how to take care of this, how to intimately transmit it. For ourselves, how do we see it? There's so many lines here. And again, we can talk about it like this, but to actually take a line like this and spend a period of zazen or half a day considering within causes and conditions, time and season, it is serene and illuminating. Right within the causes and conditions of whatever is arising in your heart, mind, here now.
Chance and White Blossom, is that, it seems to me to refer to some classic koans.
Yes, yes.
What about the monks fighting over the cat?
Yeah, there are lots of specific references in this, and I can mention those. The white oxen also refers to the ox herding pictures. And there's a Nanchuan who once said that the Buddhas and ancestors don't know what is. Cats and cows know what is. Which you can take in various ways. Like maybe not knowing is where it's at, or I don't know, or maybe... Anyway, there's lots of ways to turn these, but yeah, there are specific references in here.
One of the first things about this that I really love is the painting back. And when it got to the line that says, just to portray it in literary form is the same with the environment.
Yes, right.
And it reminds me so much of the line that goes, delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. And the line from physics that says, an immovable object and an irresistible force can't exist in the same universe. That made the line that made me laugh the first time I read it, because I thought, and just like the line about delusions, it's the Dharma of blessings. I mean, it's like, okay, we're not going to quit creating literature, even though it stains things with defilement because we have to try to use words to talk about life and existence. And it can't be really done.
That's right. There's the wonderful story of the which I've told sometimes about the sixth ancestors. Okay, maybe I'll tell it again. We're also a little bit over time, but Nanyue, one of the greatest successors of the sixth ancestor, came to the sixth ancestor, and the sixth ancestor said, "What is this that thus comes? What is this that thus comes?" Very funny way of saying, "Who are you?" And Nanyue was speechless. And the story goes that he went and sat like an iron pole in the Zendo for 8 years in the monastery. And then he finally came back and said, "Now I can respond to your question. You asked me, what is this that thus comes? And now I can say that anything I say misses the mark." Took him 8 years to come up with that. So sometimes in these stories, you know, it sort of seems like they're talking back and forth right away, but actually sometimes there's some space in between. And in that case, they say it was 8 years. But he didn't waste his time because the sixth ancestor said, "Well, is there practice realization or not?" And Nanyue said, "Well, it's not that there's no practice realization, only that it cannot be defiled." So, on that note, we'll close formally. We'll have, you know, there's going to be these 5 days of people. You know, it's the other thing, though, Jan, is we can talk about it, but we can also sit with it and let it sink into us. These are Zazen texts, so how do we sit with a line like "drumming and singing begin together," or whatever, "you are not it. Now it is you." It's like a pebble dropping in a pond. Anyway, so let's close with the four bodhisattva vows we chant 3 times. Beings are numberless.